Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to take time out to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. It is Monday, February 10th, and we are slowly but surely emerging from the Arctic freeze and marching toward spring. Yes. I cannot wait for those days yet ahead. Last week was an incredible week of acquittal for our President Trump, who dared to stand up against the liberal establishment and announce that he was acquitted. And on Thursday, it was very, very special for me at the 68th annual prayer breakfast in Washington. I was blown away when I heard that President Trump briefly mentioned Mary Fatima Mohammadi, my dear Iranian Christian friend. And I was just, you don't expect things like that. They don't happen very often. But I'm going to try my best to get that soundbite for you, because sometimes you're on the cross.
Weeks ago, a 21-year-old woman who goes by the name of Mary was seized and imprisoned in Iran because she converted to Christianity and shared the gospel with others.
Now, I recognize that was just a few seconds, but understand something about President Trump and the Trump administration. They have a strong connection for the Iranian people. In my book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, I published several of his tweets, as he has promised to stand in solidarity with the Iranian people, unlike Obama, who was a traitor to them, who gave them billions of dollars in sanction relief money and encouraged and enriched the mullahs. President Trump is defying the mullahs' stranglehold on the people and has stood in solidarity with them, promising that they will monitor their protests and they will be a advocate for their human rights and freedom. So to hear President Trump mention Mary Fatima Mohammadi, it was so encouraging. Now, if you follow the program very frequently, you know that I've done several programs about Mary. And the latest update I have on her situation is that she is being detained in Qorchak prison in the south of Tehran. It is a women's prison. It's a dirty, filthy, dangerous, unsanitary place where there's very limited access to showers, toilets, and decent food. I wanted very much, when I got this information, to update everybody, because we are praying fervently for her release. We're praying for her protection, but we're also praying that God would give her unique boldness, because that prison cell where she's being held and detained can become her church. And Mary is a very bold, courageous, outspoken young Christian. And If I know anything about my dear friend, she is not giving in to their demands. She is certainly not recanting her faith, and she is certainly defying them, and she will not cooperate with them. I know it's tough. The first time she was in prison was a couple of years ago for only 6 months. This is a different situation. This is a different prison, but we have a great God, and our great God is taking care of Mary. And I want to thank everyone. Thank you, Melissa, for your advocacy of Mary and standing up for her as well. Over the weekend, I wrote another story installment for our new book, which is entitled Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. And this became a blog that I've shared on the internet. I want to share with you the story as it will appear in our new book, which should be out sometime around spring, late spring. But this is Mary's story, and it's called Mary Fatima Mohammadi, I Refuse to Keep Silent in Iran. I am ready to return to prison if necessary in order to fight for the rights of Christians. And that was Mary Fatima Mohammadi's quote in an interview with Article 18, December of last year. I can vividly remember the last message that I received from my Iranian friend Mary from Telegram just 2 days before her arrest. I had just finished dressing and was late to work, but I stopped for just a moment to read her message. It was a petition she wanted me to post on my Facebook, which was protesting against the film on Netflix that portrayed Jesus as a homosexual. I smiled and nodded my head. That is my friend Mary, I mumbled to myself. She is so outspoken and dedicated. Right below this petition was a question from Mary. Randy, how do you feel and react about the death of Soleimani as a Christian? I was pleasantly surprised by Mary's thoughtful question. It had been just 2 days since President Trump had given the order for a drone missile strike on the jeep carrying Iran's top military general, which had instantly killed him. I carefully pondered Mary's question and then began texting her back. I said, Mary, I'm happy for you and for all Iranians that this terrorist can no longer kill people. However, I'm also saddened because even God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He desires that unbelievers repent, because if not, he knows they will spend eternity in hell apart from Christ. This was the last message, my last communication with Mary. 1 week later, on January 16th, while browsing the internet, I came across a story from Article 18 that sent shockwaves through my whole body. The article explained that Mary Fatima Mohammadi had been arrested in a city square in Tehran on January 12th, during the time when thousands of Iranians were protesting the downing of the Ukrainian jetliner. It was unknown at that time where she had been taken. When I heard this news, when I read this news, I just dropped my cell phone in my lap and bowed my head in prayer. A few minutes later, after composing myself, I began quickly sharing Mary's story on my Facebook pages, requesting urgent prayer. A little bit of background on our friendship. How did we become friends? I had become good friends with Mary over a year ago through my Iranian friend Manoush. She shared with me her incredible story, and when I read it and heard it, I knew right away that Mary's story would be featured in our new book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. In 2017, at the age of 18, Mary converted from Islam to Christianity. Now, in Iran, that is a very dangerous thing to do. Converts face arrest, imprisonment, and sometimes even the death penalty. But that is exactly what happened to Mary. She was arrested, interrogated, and put in Evin prison for 6 months. During that time, her interrogators psychologically abused her, tried to force her to recant her faith and return to Islam. But Mary stood firm in her convictions, and she refused. After her release in May of 2018, Mary refused to keep quiet about her faith. She began a ministry on her Instagram account entitled Campaign KHMA. The campaign was dedicated to religious freedom in Iran and featured videos and articles from Christians and human rights activists from all over the world. For the next several months, Mary would send me articles for the campaign that had been translated from Persian into English and asked me to proof check the spelling. And oftentimes I would substitute different words and maybe restructure the sentences, and she was approving of that. Now, you know, I happily agreed. I knew this campaign was sending a powerful message to the world supporting Christians in Iran. I remember that during Easter that same year, I recorded a worship song on my cell phone at church for her campaign. Mary wanted to feature Christian worship songs and videos to her audience. It showed the joy of true worship in churches that were free from arrest, free from imprisonment. Mary's campaign on Instagram, it had a real effect on my Christian faith. It really challenged my commitment to Christ because her courage deeply touched my heart and reminded me not to take for granted my freedom to worship as a Christian. In December 2019, for the second time in a year, Mary was expelled from university in Tehran. A few days later, she gave an interview to Article 18. Well, what is Article 18? Article 18 is a nonprofit organization based in London. It's dedicated to the protection and promotion of religious freedom in Iran and advocates on behalf of persecuted Christians. Mary was asked in the interview whether she believed her tweets supporting Christians may have led to her expulsion from university. And here's what she said. She said, of course, all my activities, statements, and any action taken by members of minority groups, activists, especially those living in Iran, they're constantly monitored by the Islamic Republic. Any such activism could lead to being denied a right, and my recent tweets may have made the authorities even more determined. She was expelled from university. This was the second time in a year. Now, on the day of her arrest, Mary had been very busy on Twitter. She was tweeting support for Christians in prison in Iran. And she was also criticizing the government for misleading the people about their involvement in shooting down the Ukrainian jetliner. Shortly after tweeting, Mary disappeared. The security forces converged on the crowd of protesters in a city square and promptly arrested my dear friend. So at the time of this article that I'm writing, I came across a report on the internet that Mary Fatima Mohammadi had been detained in Qorchak prison, according to HRANA. Qorchak prison has a reputation like Evin prison being hell on earth. It is one of the most dangerous and filthy women's prisons in Iran. It houses more than 2,000 women with very limited access to showers, toilets, and decent food. I was devastated when I read my dear friend Mary is being imprisoned at this place. Mary's whole life has inspired and challenged my Christian faith. Her heart's desire is for herself and all Christians in Iran to have the freedom to worship without fear of arrest and imprisonment. Just reflecting on her commitment to Jesus, I have a question for all of us today on the program. Where is your church? Is it safely inside four walls and padded pews? Or is your church outside of the box, among the broken and helpless, where it is dangerous, risky, and inconvenient? The church in the West is far too insulated from the real world. We are safe, protected, and in some cases, spoon-fed pep talk sermons that are guaranteed to get us out on time for the start of a major sporting event on Sunday. In contrast to that, Mary's church is located on the cold, dark, broken concrete floors of a disease-infested prison filled with drug dealers and prostitutes, a prison that has a reputation of beating and torturing and even raping its prisoners. For the last several weeks, I have been fervently praying that God would protect and strengthen my dear friend and give her boldness to be a light in the darkness at Qorchak prison. Later this week, I mentioned and I played for you, I was overwhelmed when I watched the video that President Donald Trump mentioned her captivity during his speech at the 68th Annual National Prayer Breakfast. Her story, her incredible story, has reached the White House. And here's what I would say to Mary right now, if I could see her face to face, if I could talk to her. Mary, I am so inspired and proud of your incredible courage. This government is very afraid of you. They arrested you because they are afraid of you, Mary. They are afraid of who you are and what you represent. You represent Christ, and this government fears Christianity. Islam is dying inside of Iran, while Christianity is growing by leaps and bounds. They're afraid of you, Mary, because you are a woman. And a woman is leading the masses of Iranians to find their hope in Jesus instead of Muhammad. Don't give up the fight, Mary. They will never stop or destroy you. Jesus will never leave or forsake you. He has promised that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, and your mission is guaranteed to succeed. Your prayer for Iranians to have the freedom to worship will most certainly one day come true. You know, soon after being elected president of Iran in 2005, Ahmadinejad publicly pledged to the Iranians, quote, "I will stop Christianity in this country." Since that public speech in 2005, millions of Iranians have converted to Christianity and are secretly meeting in house churches, unafraid and unashamed to be called by the name of Christ. The fastest growing church in the world is the underground church in Iran. In her last interview before her arrest, Mary said, quote, "I hope one day all Christians in Iran will be able to have a place to praise God without security guards," end quote. Mary, I promise to support you, speak for you, and pray for you to see your vision of a free Iran come true. All I ask of my Facebook friends and those that listen to this program, set aside some time at your church, in your Bible study, in your private time, and pray for this very courageous young lady. Over the weekend, I also came across a video and an article of Iranian Christian survivors of persecution. These are my good friends Marzia Amirzadeh and Miriam Rostampour, the authors of the book Captive in Iran. They spent almost 9 months in Evin prison on death row for distributing Bibles. They were part of a panel discussion on the Family Research Council. And they are advocating for persecution Christians in Iran. One of the advocates is Dabrina Bet Tamraz, whose brother Ramiel is currently in prison in Tehran because of his Christian evangelism, and whose father, Victor, and mother, Sherim, will appear in court later this month to appeal against their own convictions on similar charges. Dabrina says, "My fear is that we're too quiet. We don't speak up enough for the Christians." Now, Dabrina also highlighted the case of Mary Fatima. At that time, it was not known she was in Qarchak prison. And here's what Dabrina said in this discussion. She's a young girl, and nobody has any idea where she is right now. She's been taken away for over 3 weeks. We've called on every organization to raise awareness and ask the Iranian government to make themselves accountable, responsible for what they've done. Dabrina goes on to say that she feared that if not enough noise was made about the situation of people like Fatima, someone like her may go missing and die, and nobody will ever talk about it. Well, Dabrina, we're not going to let that happen. There are many of us speaking up. Dabrina was speaking at this time at a live stream discussion about the situation of Christians in Iran. It was hosted by, as I mentioned, U.S.-based Family Research Council. She shared the stage with fellow survivors Miriam Rostampour and Marzia Amirzadeh, who spent nearly 9 months in the same prison where Dabrina's brother is now incarcerated, Evin prison. Marzia says in this interview, "Christians in Iran today need the support of the international more than at any time to shine a light on the abuses they face and sanction the individuals responsible. Marzieh shared how when she and Miriam were in prison, pressure from international actors, including at that time Pope Benedict, led to them being treated more humanely in prison and eventually released. Marzieh said this proved that advocacy worked and called upon international organizations to do more to bring awareness to the human rights violations Iranian Christians are experiencing. Quote, publicizing the cases can at least protect prisoners from being physically tortured and coerced to make false confessions, she said. Now, this is an excellent point. This is why what we do as human rights activists is so important. Believe it or not, our campaigns, our petitions has an effect on this government. They want their image to be portrayed as being so careful not to hurt anyone. And because of that, because there's international pressure, they sometimes will not abuse and torture prisoners. Marzieh also called on the U.S. to relax its control on asylum seekers, at least in severe cases, and to encourage its allies in Europe and at the UN to, quote, hold the Iranian regime accountable for violations of human rights and ignoring the rights of religious minority. Now, the three women also called on Christians around the world to help raise awareness about the persecutions of Christians in Iran and elsewhere. We would like to encourage each of you to give more attention to the Iranian human rights situation and the issues of religious persecution, Marzieh said. We hope for a day when all Iranian people from any religion or ethnicity can live together in peace without having the fear of getting harassed. Debrina added this, raise awareness, speak about it. You are the voice of persecuted brothers and sisters today in prison in Iran and all across the world. Miriam and Marzieh spoke about how encouraged they were when they found out that they had been sent hundreds of letters while they were in prison, even if the guards never let them read those letters. Miriam encouraged Christians to, quote, just write hundreds and thousands of letters, send them to prison because they make the authorities angry. Miriam added that Christians in the West must not forget that their freedom is a precious gift. As people who come from a country where you cannot even sing for God with a loud voice, you have to be cautious about everything. The freedom that you have in this country is a precious gift, but we also believe that you have to use this freedom. You can't just leave your freedom and enjoy this freedom. We have to be a voice for those people who do not have this freedom. Amen to that, Miriam. Amen. One day persecution may come to the free countries, Miriam went on to say, and we might need help from that part of the world. So please stand up for your brothers and sisters and be their voice. All three women talked about how the trauma of their experiences still remain with them. Debrina said that after years, when she was in Iran, of being followed by government agents, it took her 8 years after leaving Iran before she stopped looking in the mirror to see if there was a car following me or not. Wow. Miriam added, today, after 10 years, it is still hard for us to forget the tortures and execution of our best friend and many other injustices we witnessed inside Evin prison. Their best friend was named Shirin. She was Kurdish, and it was right after they had been released from prison that she was executed, and it really devastated them. Well, this is what we're doing on the Cross in the Desert today. We're being a voice for Christian prisoners in Iran. There is one church leader. His name is Nasser Navad Goltapa. He's an Iranian convert to Christianity. He is in Evin prison, and he released a letter last week. And in this letter, he calls for prayer and reminds us that our prayers are a sweet-smelling offering to God. Nasser has been in Evin prison, it's known as Iran's torture factory, since January 2018. And his story is this. January 31st, 2020, I am confident in all hardships, and I believe I will become free by him who I have hope to, because the Lord our God does not forget his children. So let me boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Nasser turned 59 in August. He was sentenced or arrested in June 2016 alongside three Azerbaijanis when police invaded a house where they were worshiping. For 4 months, the men lived in solitary confinement in Evin prison, where they endured intense persecution. They were released when they posted bail of $35,000 for each man. Following a court hearing back in May of 2017, the judge sentenced Nasser to 10 years in prison for action against national security and establishing house churches. Now, he lost his appeal against his sentence in November of that year. He was moved to Evin prison in January 2018. And he began his recent letter with the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, quote, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "I am confident in all hardships, and I believe I will come free by him who I have hope, because the Lord our God does not forget his children," Nasser writes. "The Lord is my helper. He asked Christians to remember me in your prayers." He asked also for us to pray for his family to know Christ, for the Iranian people, and the spread of the gospel. With his words, he has challenged Christians to remain firm in their faith and to show concern for one another, not to give up meeting together, and to work hard to spread the gospel. And he asked for prayers of other Christians. Nasser says, "My imprisonment will serve to further the gospel." This is a man that is serving his imprisonment with confidence that it will be used to glorify the Lord Jesus. And as we leave today, as our broadcast comes to an end today, I want you to pray for Nasser, that he will give the Iranian authorities a powerful testimony of who Christ is, that he will use his imprisonment for the glory of God. Pray for the Christians in Iran is what his request is. Pray for his family to know the Lord. Lift this man up. Lift up Mary in your prayers. Be a voice for the Iranian Christians imprisoned in Iran. This is what Miriam and Marzea and Debrina are calling on all of us to do. All of us play a part. And as Miriam says, do not sit on your freedom. Do not take your freedom for granted. Use it, because there may come a day when you lose that freedom. And so we who are Americans in the West here, who have religious freedom, let's use our freedom for the glory of God and speak out for the people like Mary and Nasser and the others that are suffering in prison in Iran. God is faithful to answer our prayers. I want to say thank you so much for joining me today on the broadcast. Thank you so much, Melissa, my good friend, who is a strong human rights activist and voice for Mary and all Christians. God bless you. I will see you Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Thank you.